The book of Proverbs, and it's chapter 16. Book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Let's stand in reverence to God's word. A way or the way? A way or the way? Verse 1 of Proverbs 16 says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the days of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Be mercy, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for all you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come here this morning. I ask you to open our hearts and minds. Give us discernment, Lord, of your word. Help us, Lord, to take heed to your word and to use it for our honor, for your honor and glory. And Lord, if there be one in the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord, they will choose you. They will ask you into their heart. And we thank you for that. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. It's nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. There's highways that lead all over this nation. They'll go east, west, north, south. They travel all over the place. And you can choose any of these directions. I'm going to take I-15 for a while here in a week or so, and then I'm going to take I-70, and then I'll take Highway 50, Business Loop, as they call it. But all of these lead to different places. They all go to different places. I've been on so many highways in this nation, and the idea of choosing that highway is to get you to the destination that you actually started out for. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, though, to go to Denver, Colorado, I can leave here and I can go down I-11, they call it now, and I can jump on I-40. And then I can go down to Albuquerque and hit I-25 and head north, and I-25 will take me to Denver. Or I can go up here and jump on the 15 and go all around there and just stay on the 15 until I get over to Salt Lake, and I can take I-80 over to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and then I can take I-25 down to Denver. Or I can leave here on I-15 and I can go over to I-70, and I can stay on I-70 eastbound, and it will take me to Denver. There's all sorts of ways I can get to Denver if I want to really go to Denver. I don't know of any reason I would go to Denver other than just because it's on my route to somewhere else. I'm not a Denver fan. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to blessings from the Lord, when it comes to pleasing God, there is only one way to do that. And that's God's way. Now, we're taught there's many different ways for all of these things. We hear it in the world. There's all sorts of ways to do this. But I'm going to be up front with you. There's only one way to please God, and there's only one way to receive God's blessings, and that is through the Lord. That's the only way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Jeremiah 6:16, and we're not going to turn to all these because I got quite a few passages, but in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, but without... I'm reading the wrong one. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, they tell us there's many different ways to do all of these things. That's a lie. There's only one way to the Lord. It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Proverbs 16:7 said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We may believe that you can serve God your way. We might even believe that you can get to heaven your way. But honestly, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way to serve God properly, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a person says, well, yeah, but your interpretation of the Bible may be different than my interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's hogwash too, because the Bible's already been interpreted. You ain't interpreting the Bible. The Bible was given to over 40 authors by the Holy Spirit, and he interpreted it for us in a language we can understand. It's already put out there. You can't read a verse and say, well, yeah, but I think this verse is blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. It's either God's way or no way. But there's a lot of people that want to say, well, I can worship God the way I want, and I can get to heaven just as easy as you can. Well, in a statement, yeah, that's true, if that's what they really meant by that. But there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in him that we get there, but it's by faith that we please God. If you don't have no faith, you can't please God. It doesn't say how much. It just says it's through faith. That's the way we please the Lord. Now, here's a test for you to know if you're on the proper road in your life. In your Christian walk, if you say, well, you know what, Pastor, listen, I know the Lord. If I die today, ask yourself that today. No, here, I'll give you a better one. This way it won't be picking on you. If I die today, Pastor Jim Smith, if I die today, which could happen in here in a second, never know. Just be sure to make sure she feeds my dog. She might sling a little snot. She won't need no more than a box of tissue. But if I die today, if I fall over, just pleh, Brother Jeff, come on up, or you or Brother Larry, come on up and finish the sermon. Don't quit, because let me lay there. I ain't going to stink before service is over. But if I fall over dead today, will I see you in heaven one day? That's a fair question. And we need to know that. But you say, well, I ain't got a problem with that. I'm going to be in heaven. I don't have a problem with that. I know I'm saved. I know that when I pass on from this life, that I'm going to wake up looking in the face of Jesus. Well, amen, praise God. I'm glad for it. Because that's what it's supposed to be. And there should have been a amen right there. But we've gotten loose on our amens. Amen, we have. You see, I got to go back to training. It's the same way with my dog. She forgets. Anyway. So that's an amen. Listen, if we know that we're going to heaven, woo, man, it can't be any better thought and better rest in my mind and heart to know that I'm going to heaven. But can we be on the wrong road? Sure we can. There's a lot of teachers out there. People listen to the radio, podcast. I mean, we got all kinds of ways we can listen to preaching now. And so I listen to a lot of different preachers. Most of them I know. And so I'll listen to them because I trust them. Every now and then I'll find one and I'll say, let me see what he says. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know what he's thinking, but we have to be very careful. You see, but here's a test for us. You say you put Jesus ahead of everything in your life. You put it ahead of your children. You put Jesus ahead of your spouse, of your work, your family, of your own desires. You see, when we put Jesus ahead of all of that stuff, now here's your test. If everything is just smooth for you, if life is just going really good because, hey, that's what I'm doing. I'm not having any problems in my life. There's no bumps in the road. Everything's just smooth sailing. Turn around, you're on the wrong road. That's the truth. Turn around, because why? We're going in the same direction as the devil. That's why you ain't having no opposition. You see, there's going to be opposition. Brother, I thought Brother Larry was going to say it this morning, but he didn't. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not will suffer persecution, but shall suffer persecution. At some point, you're going to torque off somebody in your family. You're going to torque off a child. You're going to torque off a person at work. You're going to torque off somebody somewhere along the line, and they're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to say, this God you believe in, can't he help you in your problem you got? Now, I ain't talking about what I'm going to do Friday. That's how would I say that without getting in too much trouble? That's almost asking for trouble. We're going to go down in the backyard. Well, no, we're going to go down in the den. Right on the edge of the pits of hell, and we're going to offer Bibles to people. I'm not going to push a soul. I'm not going to scream and holler at people. That's not me. I'm not going to do that. I know some guys that have done that. They got spit on. They've been slapped. They've had tomatoes thrown at them. It's like, but when you're around those people, they're going to look at you like, well, you're an idiot. Well, and that's okay. I've been called that most of my life. Amen? I have been. People look at me like I'm crazy, and I tell them I am. It's kept me from going insane. That's the only thing that's kept me on the sane side of things, is because I'm just a hair crazy. And it's good to be a little crazy. But, you know, I'm going to go down there and mix in with those people. So, therefore, I'm going to expect that I'm probably going to have a problem. And the best way for that problem to be solved is to do this and go someplace else. Now, as Brother Larry said, if somebody lays their hand on me, well, I ain't sure. I'm going to probably need to call Brother Tony. He's a treasure. So, I'm talking about just your everyday life. Being at home with your family, because I'm going to watch this movie tonight. Well, yeah, but I thought we'd study the Bible. You're going to catch some grief about that. Well, I'm going to do this Sunday. Well, what about church? Well, I'm going to, this is going on with my children's life. You're going to have some issues. And trust me, the best place for you is to be walking the same path as Jesus. So if like I said, if everything's just going smooth, you need to do a 180. And really put Jesus where he's supposed to be. You see, there's reasons for opposition. The reason there's no opposition in a person's life sometimes is because they're not heading in the proper direction. Yes, they may be going to heaven, But they're just not going in the proper direction. You know, when I first got saved, I tried to go in the proper direction. And I got shut down real quick by some of the guys I worked with. I worked with a bunch of construction workers. That's what I was doing in South Texas. And it was like, whoa, that was the wrong thing to say. You know, they ain't impressed with that. And so I started just leaving that alone while I was going in the same direction. I thought, hey, the Christian life ain't too bad, man. Everything's just cruising along pretty good. But then when you start changing, when you get on the right road, you get on the proper way, you run into some opposition. You see, we need to understand how to correct these problems, though. Abraham left his country. The Lord said, hey, I don't know how he appeared to him. It says he appeared to Abraham. And he said, give up what you're doing. Now, you need to understand, Abraham was a pagan. Everybody where he was at worshiped idols. God showed up. It said God appeared unto him in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. And it says, he said, follow me. So Abraham did. He got to where they were going. Now, there was a problem that come up. Abraham decided, I need to go down to Egypt because we got a famine in the land. Now listen, you won't read anywhere where it says that that was a bad thing to do right off. Abraham says, they got food, I don't. Well, think about that. They got food, I don't. Well, you're going to go to where the food is. You're going to go to where you think safety is. And in a worldly sense, listen, Abraham was correct. But all of that was based on worldly wisdom. God had said, follow me and I'll take care of you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, he didn't say, hey, I ain't going to let you starve. He just figured Abraham understood that. Sometimes you got to be specific. Abraham did not pray about going to Egypt. Abraham just said, hey, we need to go down there where the food was. It sounded good. He's a wise leader. But he was going on his worldly knowledge. God had already said, I'm going to take care of you, not Egypt. Not anybody else. I'm going to take care of you. He went down there, caused himself lots of problems. You see, the world walks by sight. And as far as Abraham was concerned, things ain't looking good. You know, honestly, when we look around, it ain't looking good. It's not. Most of us here plan on going to work tomorrow. That may not take place. At the way the world's going, listen, that could change overnight. Most of us are, I guarantee you, pretty much everybody in here, other than the young ones, have what they call a debit card. And you plan on when you use it, it's going to work. But that could change in a matter of hours. You could go down there and, well, it won't work. Can't get it. What do you mean I can't get cash? Well, the banking system shut down. That could possibly take place. You see, as we look around, things don't look so great. Well, things didn't look great for Abraham. But Abraham failed to do the most important thing. He failed to pray about it. But the world walks by sight. Even believers do that. We won't go there, but in Mark chapter 4, 35 through 40, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And they all got into the boat and poof, pushed off. And listen, the Sea of Galilee ain't that big. And you could see the other side. That's where they were heading. And they get out there in the middle of it. And I told you the other day when I preached, I said, they let the boat fill up with water. Now, I think I'd have been saying something before that. But they let it fill up with water. In their eyes, as far as they could see, this is not good. Worldly wisdom says, hey, we're in trouble.
But they forgot. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Hey, we're going to the other side. When we got saved, Jesus said, hey, live your life and witness for me, serve me, you're going to heaven. That's where we're at, but we all panic. Oh, what am I going to do if the bank shuts down? Oh, what are we going to do if a civil war starts up, which possibly could? Listen, they got an unreal amount of troops down in Texas right now. I've even told people I'll pack up and go with a gun to Texas. I'm going to take the stand on the right side, in my opinion. Amen. And guess what? It could easily trigger, just like that, a civil war. If they federalize those National Guard troops. See, the National Guard is tied to the state. The state has all the control over them. But under certain circumstances, they can federalize it. If they federalize it, the state loses its power to tell the National Guard what to do. But guess who the National Guard troops are? They're not full-time army. They're not. They don't look at a uniform every day. They go home every night to mom. They go home every night to their wife. They go see their children. They go to work Monday through Friday. They're out there. Oh, there's old Joe. How you doing, brother? And when they come in the department store, oh, how you? You know, because they know everybody. They're people just like Jose, just like Brother Jeff. They're not 100% military, but they're standing on what they believe, and if they federalize them, I don't believe they'll take orders from the federal government because they don't trust the federal government. We are that close to a civil war in this country. I may go out on a limb and say this. I will. I'll step out here. We probably need one because we got problems. Sometimes it's the only way to straighten it out. As a very good friend of mine and a pastor of a church, sometimes you got to call the herd. Look that up. I won't go into details. We walk by sight. We can't walk by sight. You see, the children of God are to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We can't look out here and say, oh, everything's just super great. It ain't. But God ain't never lost control. None of it took him by accident. You know, God told Noah, he said, build me an ark. He said, you need to build an ark because we're going to have a flood and I'm going to bring judgment on the world. Build an ark. And Noah's like, what's an ark? You know, you think about that. If you had never seen an ark and had no idea what an ark was, you'd be like, what's an ark? You know, that's kind of like somebody walking up to me and saying, here's a blueprint, build me a thingamajig. What is it, thingamajig? Just build it. Because that's going to be a purpose. You see, when it started raining, Noah was glad he built it. It took him 120 years to build that ark. He stayed faithful to God building that ark. Although people were walking up and saying, what's this fool doing? He's building an ark. What's it going to do? They ain't never went out skiing. They ain't never been on a pontoon, Brother Freddie. They had no idea. I watched a show one time that reminded me of what Noah probably thought and what people thought. Watched this show one time, and it's some kind of cowboy movie where somebody traveled back in time, and they were on a dirt bike. And they went flying back in time, landed in the desert, and it died on him, you know. Well, he was out there cranking it. You got to kickstart them. And so these bad guys come down there, and he had walked off and left it. And these bad guys come down there and they're looking at it and they're like, he said, what is it? I don't know. What's it for? I don't know. He just poof and wrecked out here, you know, fell down in the dirt. And the other guy looks at him, he said, well, he was kicking it. Or he just walked up there and started kicking it. Well, then all of a sudden they figured out that you push down on this thing. Well, and when it cranked up, they shot it. Boom, 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 because they didn't know what to do with it. And I'm like, you know, that's probably what people thought. When that thing, when that ark got built, and people are like, what in the world? Fancy house. But I'm going to tell you something. Noah was glad he'd done it. Noah was soon shown how important it was that he built that ark, that he followed what the Lord said. You see, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, when we call unto the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I got an idea because I've read Revelation, and I believe what the Word of God says, but this ain't looking good. He said, call unto me because I'll show you some things you didn't know. You know, I see stuff I didn't know all the time that the Lord reveals to me. He built an ark, and what's he got? Man, this thing is huge. And all these people are, what are you doing here? But when the Lord said, get in, and he shut the door, man, he was thrilled to death. He followed what the Lord said to do. See, in our lives, we ought to say, we need to follow the Lord because we never know what he's going to show us down the road. Because he says right there, I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, after it started raining, the earth started bubbling up with water. All of a sudden, they're all in this ark. You can just picture them there and there standing around. Boy, I'm glad we got this. We're dry. And then all of a sudden, it starts moving around. And they're like, whoa. Oh, they were real glad. And then when he sent out the raven and he sent out at the dove and they kept coming back and you know, it was nothing dry out there. The only thing that was dry was what they were in. That showing was things that we don't know. You see, the world teaches us to live by sight. In Luke chapter 12, it's about a rich man. And he sees all of what he's got. He says, oh man, I got... my fields are just bloomed because there's been a lot of rain. You give it a few days. Man, we'll start getting blooms around here. Be like spring, and spring ain't here yet. And he looks around, he said, I'm doing good. Well, on worldly standards, he is. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down all my old barns, and I'll build me up some new ones. So I'll have it, and I'll just sit back and say, yeah, this is good. Was living on worldly wisdom. He was on the wrong road. And God said, thou fool, tonight you're going to give an account of all this you've wasted. You see, when we don't lay up treasures in heaven, we're just like that rich man. We might be going to heaven. We maybe say we're saved and we're going to heaven. But if we ain't laying up treasures in heaven, the Lord says you're full. You're supposed to be laying up treasures in heaven, not treasures here on earth, because I've never been to a funeral that's got a U-Haul trailer tied to the casket. And I've never seen the stuff disappear. Matter of fact, I've got some stuff that some folk that passed on, it was theirs. They owned it. I've got it now. Because they didn't take it with them. But what's with them, what's there, is what they've been doing for the Lord. You see, they laid up treasures in heaven, and they're supposed to be there when they get there, according to the Word of God. Those treasures are laid up in heaven. It's not just salvation. It's people that we have introduced to the Lord. Maybe people that we ourselves led to the Lord, they'll be there. It's the things done for the Lord. It's when we put our little measly money in the offering plate. And we think, well, we're giving. Well, guess what it does? Every time Brother Wiggs, or every time Brother Craig, or every time Brother Cormos, or every time the Interstate Mission Development puts together a church somewhere and makes it and helps it to thrive, every time there's a soul led to the Lord, that goes to your account. That's laying treasures up in heaven. You see, all of that counts for us. And somebody mentioned to me, well, I expect a blessing from the Lord. You know, I understand what we're saying. And I'm going to be honest with you. I expect the Lord's going to bless me. The Bible tells me He is, therefore I'm expecting it. Amen? That's true. If I tell my kids, hey, we're having a Snicker bar tonight. Oh, they expect that. They expect to get it. The Lord said, if I serve Him, I'm going to bless you, and there's going to be treasures laid up. I'm expecting all of that, but I don't need to just walk into the church, well, bless me again, I'm here. No, that's why you're here. Because I told somebody the other night, this ain't a resort for the ones that's arrived. This is a hospital for all us sinners. And by the way, we're all sinners. We're either sinners saved by grace or we're a sinner that needs to get saved by grace. You see, now, I'm gonna end it here. Now, this is for the lost. You see, Jesus, as I started this out, is the only way to get to God. He is the only way to heaven. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. We can't get to heaven except through Jesus. A lot of people out there want to tell you different ways. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You see, a lot of people out there tell you, well, you're okay because, well, you were baptized at 8, so you were confirmed. Or maybe it was 12. Oh, I was an altar boy, and oh, I did this for the Lord, and oh, I've taken the pastor out to eat. I couldn't tell you how many times, and I buy the pastor stuff, and I bring stuff to the church, and that ain't gonna get you to heaven. What it's all about is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, because He tells us, He says, he said, because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's sad. But that's what the Word of God says. But then He says in verse 15 of Matthew 7, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Listen, there are people out there that will lead folk astray. We got a church down the road here. It's right here at Burkholder and Racetrack. They do nothing but pump out poison. Every time when I go by there and that place is packed, the parking lot's packed, I'm like, eh. They're feeding all that poison. That's what they do. They're the devil's people. They work for Satan. They have no clue that they do, but they do. All of these false teachers, they are working for Satan, and all they do is lead people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they have their own Jesus. You see, there's only one absolute truth, and that's the Word of God. You can't totally believe anything else except for the Word of God. It's got to be the Word of God, and I'm going to add this in there because of who I am, but it really needs to be a King James Version because it don't hide stuff. There's a lot of the Word that comes out now. They call it the Revised Bibles and all these different translations. They leave out a bunch of stuff. I don't understand why, but they leave out a bunch of stuff, and I'm not telling you you can't get saved by one of these. You can get saved by a Reader's Digest. Did you know that? You can read a Reader's Digest. I don't even know if I have them anymore. I'll use this Costco Connection magazine. Most everybody gets them. You can get saved reading one of them, as long as it's got the gospel in it. But that don't make it a Bible. You see, the Word of God is the absolute truth. That's the only absolute truth in this world. And only one absolute way to heaven and to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's our job to be on the proper road to tell all those that are against us what they need. Because without that, they're going to wake up in a place called hell, and you don't ever want one to look at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" Because you're going to feel bad about that. And according to the Lord, their blood's going to be on your hands if you didn't tell them. Now, I can't answer to you exactly what that's going to be. All I can tell you is what the Word of God says. If we do not offer to people the Lord Jesus Christ, it's on our hands. If we offer it to them and they turn it down, it's on theirs. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation this morning. Every head bowed and every...